for the remainder of services, we will once again hear from our pastor, Mr. Stephen LeBlanc.
Let's get back to the subject of faith, which pleases God. Not only does it please God, but we make better decisions when we walk in faith, but the temptation is to give in to just the culture, the way it's conditioned us, to give in to human emotion. You know, when we're angry, we're right, aren't we? You know, but I've learned when I am very angry, most of the time I'm not walking in faith. James chapter 1 and verse 20 says that the wrath of men is not the righteousness of God. And I've seen many people over the years in anger, and maybe they have a reason to be angry, but the anger is way out of proportion, or it stays too long to make decisions, and they think they're making decisions that please God when, in fact, they're really not walking in faith. So it's a battle, the faith battle, because you got human emotion. Some people make decisions out of sheer joy. Fairly recently, I had to deal with a woman I've known for some years, single woman, a good person, a person of quality and character and church background. And she met somebody and, you know, fell in love. And she wanted my opinion. Well, the relationship is moving too quickly. I said, look, you've got to give it time. It's just go, well, we know each other. We used to know each other, she told me, from years ago. And, you know, we've talked about everything. And we can talk really well. Now, they've only known each other for a few months, okay? Not talking about anybody here. But they don't really know each other that well because they've only been dating a couple of months, even though they knew each other from years ago. And it's rekindled that interest in that relationship, and she's all very excited. And she would kind of make jokes about my counsel because she thinks I'm being too cautious. And I'm just trying to encourage her to slow down, because when you walk by faith, most of the time, you got to slow down. Satan wants us to be impulsive. It is an impulsive culture that wants us to move quickly on things. And generally speaking, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, that's not the way it works. David had to wait nearly 10 years to become king. I'm not saying you got to wait 10 years to get through the issue you're dealing with. But it's important to understand when walking in faith that God is going to say, well, are you willing to stop and listen to me? Pray, study, listen, maybe get wise counsel. You got to give it time. Because walking by faith most of the time means you've got to wait on God. That's faith. And no matter how sure your decision may be, and everything looks right, it could be a relationship, job, it could be just about anything you make a decision on, you don't see everything. And God tries to teach us to wait upon the Lord. You read a lot about that in the book of Psalms. So I'm trying to tell this person, you've got to slow down. Well, God's in it because the fruit's been good. We know each other and we like each other. Well, you've only given it 2 months. You can't really tell yet if the fruit is good. It takes time. But this is a little thing, but it's a big thing because it could impact her whole life. I don't know what she will do about the matter at hand, but faith is not about rushing into something. I had another situation. I'm trying to give you a background here of why I started to think about this subject, or even about myself. Somebody else, you don't know the person. This person used to attend church. We've reconnected over the past few years. She's divorced, has several children, and we've been talking. And she doesn't keep the Sabbath anymore, doesn't keep the festival days. But she has not lost her understanding of the truth. And she's one of these people I can have a very blunt conversation with her. And it was astounding to me because she knew the truth. She knew the Sabbath was still the Sabbath. There's no doubt there. She understood the festivals and what they pictured, and she rattled off meaning of the festival days. And so I wasn't trying to pick on her Sunday church. But I said, but why are you going to a Sunday church? I don't understand this. She said, well, I have a 22, 23-year-old son. And he likes going to this church, and he's got a good relationship with the pastor, and he loves the people there. And I don't want to disrupt that, she said. I don't want to take him out of a good context of decent people. So I'm working the opening, I've no problem saying that, of, okay, you don't have to try to beat him up over attending a Sunday church. You can talk to him about why you will be attending a Sabbath-keeping church, and just, you don't have to force the issue. But she's worried that if she stops attending the Sunday-keeping church, that will upset him and upset the, you know, the family dynamic. And, you know, apparently where he does go to church, they're very good, decent people and so on. So I'm encouraging and planting seeds, I see no problem with that, of trying to get her to think about coming back to the Sabbath and the festival days. I'm not going to pressure her, but at the end of the book of James, sometimes you reach out to people. It's not wrong either. So it's a story that doesn't have an ending yet. But she's not walking by faith. She's walking by sight because she doesn't want to upset her son. And I'm sure parents would understand that even more so than me. I mean, if I had a son or daughter, I'm sure it would upset me, but I'm sure you would continue to attend the Sabbath. But for her, it's a real battle, and it's been years since she has attended the Sabbath. Fascinating to me because a lot of the understanding is still there. And even a degree of the conviction is still there, just buried way, way deep down below the surface. So it was a surprising conversation I've had with her. But the point again is, you can be so in love with a person, just using examples I've seen in the past, even myself, but it doesn't mean you should marry the person. One of the hardest pieces of advice to give to somebody, whether they're 19, 59, or 79, is just because you're in love with XYZ person doesn't mean you should marry them. Okay, I have nobody in mind. I'm not saying you shouldn't have married the person you're married to, okay? I'm not trying to resurrect any issues here with anybody. I'm talking about faith. Emotion of it by itself is not wrong, but it isn't necessarily going to guide you to walk by faith. And sometimes emotion is good. Emotion's not always wrong, and there's a time to have emotion involved in the whole walk of faith. But I hope this woman doesn't marry too quickly and gives it time for God to work in the situation. I don't know what she will do. I hope this other lady will seriously consider keeping the Sabbath again and the festivals of God, and to do that once again and go to God and say, look, what happens to my son? He's an adult now. I don't have that much control anymore. I have to walk in faith. She's got to wrestle through some of these things. And it can be very, very hard. So let's talk about some of the examples of people, good people, who God loved, but they stumbled because they didn't walk in faith, because sometimes it's very hard. Abraham is a great example, and Sarah. So why don't we take a look at this story? Why don't we go to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. And I think this is a mistake probably all of us have made if you have been in the church at any great deal of time. I was talking about this with somebody this week, and you know, the person made a comment to the effect, the person we were talking about, the situation, the context, well, you don't want to make a decision based on discouragement. We've all been very discouraged, a job, broken relationship, maybe something doesn't work out with a family relationship, a painful experience. And you can get so discouraged, you say, well, I can't handle it anymore. I'm going to do this because I want to get away from the pain or the discouragement or the heaviness. It's very real, and I think you can all look back on an experience in your life. So if you go to Genesis chapter 16, it's talking about Sarai, Abram's wife. The names have not been changed yet. They're immature in faith, and I think this is very important. This is a side note, but Nobody walks perfectly in faith. We make mistakes. And God forgives us, and he can still bless us as he did with Abraham and Sarah. It's not the end of the world if you make a mistake and you walk in sight. But it is better if we walk by faith. In verse 1, and Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. That's really interesting because if you take a look, we're not going to go back there, but if you go to Genesis chapter 12, a little bit of background here, there was a famine in the land, and Abram and Sarai decided to go down into Egypt. Now, God didn't tell them to go to Egypt. He goes down into Egypt, if you remember the story in chapter 12 and verse 10, and then he gets into all types of trouble in Egypt. Remember, because he has to deal with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh falls in love with Sarai, and he has to lie, and it gets crazy. This is what happens when humans do it their own way. Everything becomes more complicated, crazy. You know, you got to start doing backflips and somersaults, and it can make a real mess. I mean, all of us have made decisions out of the goodness of our hearts, and God loves us, but we make a little bit of a mess. I've made financial decisions. I've made people decisions because I didn't walk in faith. Not intentionally, but I just kind of went with my own thinking. It's hard. So Abram goes down, and he gets involved with the Egyptians, and to the best of my understanding, he comes back with this woman called Hagar, who's an Egyptian. But if you could only imagine, I don't think men will ever understand this. I think a woman understands it better. Sarai could not have children, and it was very painful. And the weeks went by, and the months went by, and the years went by. It was very hard. And she was overwhelmed, and God loved her deeply. And even though they were promised an heir, they were trying to figure it all out humanly, how it was going to work out. And so the years go by, and then finally, Hagar enters into the picture, and Sarai says to Abram, see now, verse 2, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. True, but not forever. See, timing issues come into it right away. But she had given up. It's when the hope fades, and you just think, this is bad, and well, I think I'm going to do this. Move somewhere, quit the job, quit the marriage, quit the friendship. These are very powerful motives, and people, it is so sad to see this happen when people are so down and discouraged, and they want to throw in the towel, but it doesn't mean God wants them to throw in the towel. But this is, in effect, what they're doing here. And in verse 2, she says, I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Sometimes men heed the voice of their lovely, righteous, character-filled wives when they shouldn't. I'm not picking on anyone. I don't know what your situation is. But there's even a tendency when we love somebody to give in to their heartfelt, sometimes filled with tears in their eyes, request. Very difficult faith sometimes. But it was not a wise decision. And again, they have a child, Ishmael, and God blesses Ishmael eventually, but it was not a good decision. And there are all types of problems as a result of that human act of walking by sight. What was the basis? What was the motive? Now, we're going to talk about this later. What really drives your walk? Is it emotion? In this case, it was discouragement. And it's very powerful and very easy to find ourselves in a discouraged state and just make a decision. I'll give you an example of this that comes to mind. Back when I was in Pasadena, and you get college students, you know they're going to college, and many of them would meet somebody in college and fall in love and get married. Doesn't mean it was always a wise decision. But what was more important, if they followed God's law and his rules of spouse and how you behave toward one another. You could even take people who aren't a real good match, and that can turn out to be a real good marriage if they follow the word of God. I've seen people who, they were a great match, similar background, know the family, people of character, but then they stop following the Word of God in their marriage and everything becomes a disaster. But you would see occasionally where you would have, you tended to see the stress more in the young ladies. Because maybe they were 22, 23, 24. They graduate from college. They're not dating somebody seriously. And there was enormous pressure, which was wrong, to find somebody while you were in college rather than, you know, go back to where you lived in the tiny little town where maybe there were 40 people attending church. And as a woman, and you're a good woman, you're 24 years of age, and your number one prospect back, you know, in the local church area is a 44-year-old man who has very defined ideas about marriage, who constantly is making jokes about women, who has a drinking problem, and the whole church kind of knows about it. I mean, this is the real world you're dealing with, so the pressure to find somebody there, you know, was very real. So what you would see is kind of at the closing days of college, and soon thereafter, you would see couples, you'd see people together. You didn't even know they even knew each other 3 weeks ago, and you'd see them holding hands walking around campus because there was a pressure to find someone and to get on with it. You know, this was a kind of a sad tragedy, and I remember one woman in particular and talking with her, and it was in a ministerial situation, and she was dating, we'll call him Bruce. All of a sudden, she's dating Bruce. Why are you dating Bruce? We didn't even know you knew him. And, well, my friend said he's a good guy, and the minister's wife said, why don't you spend some time with him? And through the course of the conversation, you could see, you're really not that interested in Bruce, are you? But pressure from the ministry, pressure from friends, pressure from, you're in Pasadena, you got to find this person, or else you're going to go back home. It's going to be very difficult. You know, then before you know it, they're engaged. And then they get married, and then a couple years later, you find out they go their separate ways. So these things happen. She's discouraged. Great person, nothing wrong with her character. I'm just using real-life examples because you don't want to get discouraged and just do something you shouldn't do. David could have killed Saul because he was just frustrated and sick and tired of being on the run for 7, 8, 9 years. Let's just deal with this problem. But had he done that, he would not have been walking by faith. Some people were tempted to walk by fear. Abraham and Sarai were deeply discouraged. I do not believe what they did and eventually getting involved with Hagar was an act of purposeful rebellion. They were good people, but they were down. But they didn't walk by faith. And I've often wondered, did they ever go to God in prayer? Or how much longer? Or I don't know. We don't know the rest of the story. We don't know what happened during those years of discouragement, but it's very real, very human. And God loved them and eventually blessed them. But it's just an interesting story. Here's something I've seen a lot of over the years. Remember, we're talking about walking by faith as opposed to walking by sight. Now, this is really interesting. Let's go to Judges chapter 16. Now, this concerns Samson, and you're going to say, well, okay, that's pretty obvious, but there's a little bit more here behind the scene, and I've seen this with people. I know I have a personality that I've got to be careful with this as well. So let's go to this situation. Some of these stories, it's very easy, isn't it, to take a look at these biblical characters and see, oh, they weren't walking by faith. Or walking by sight, or to see your friends or somebody else in the church. It's just a very easy exercise to just see that, you know, that person's walking by sight, not by faith. But if you go to Judges 14, Samson, this great man of incredible strength and power. Simple story. Now, Samson, verse 1 of chapter 14, went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, there's something about those Philistine women. The way they dressed, There was something seductive about them. I don't know what it was, but they were very appealing, and they were appealing to Samson, and Samson had a thing for Philistine women. Now, I've met men before, and I told you before this story, real quick. Good guy, good friend of mine that goes back to Pasadena, he had to marry a blonde. He just had to marry a blonde. You would never see him dating a brunette, redhead, quote, dirty blonde. I mean, they had to be blondes. Just had this fixation. And he did marry one, and he's been paying the price ever since. And she is a little bit wacky. I didn't say all blondes are wacky, though that is the rumor. But people get fixations on things. I've done this. I've seen people, they've got to live in a certain city, or they have to marry a certain person, or I've got to buy this car, or I have to live in a certain place. Well, with him, he had to have a Philistine. God warns against this, verse 2, so he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. He didn't really know her, of course. He's walking by sight. She looks wonderful to him. I want her. Here we go. The race is on. And the father and the mother said, is there no other woman among the daughters of your brethren, among all my people? I mean, can't you go to somebody else among our own people? This is interesting, and I've seen this a lot with God and in God's church. If you're about ready to make a poor decision, God will warn you. God will warn you. Either your conscience will be smitten, somebody will give a sermonette, and it'll hit on a scripture, or you'll talk with somebody, and they'll just say, hey, I heard you're thinking of doing that. Boy, you better be careful. But when we want something so badly, when the desire is so strong, when the fixation is in place, boy, it's very difficult to try to ask people to step away and give it a little bit of time. You've got to be really careful here. This is what happened with him. So the father and the mother, verse 3, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren? And I'm not being silly here today. This is how often humans conduct their lives. They get something in their mind, and it's not wrong to have desires, but we have to filter those desires using faith, because sometimes these things are not good for us. In verse 3, you know, Samson ignores his parents and says to his father, get her for me. She pleases me well. She pleases me well. Sometimes in life, what can hurt you the most are the things that please you well. You know, you buy that car, and a month into it, the payments are too high, and the cost to repair it is too much. A neighbor of mine bought a Mercedes, okay? I'm not saying it's wrong to buy a Mercedes. Mercedes, a lot of people love them. They're good cars. But she told me, she said, I never should have bought this thing. I get a problem with one of the tires. I'm spending, you know, $600-$700 on a tire. Then I got a little problem with the fender, and I'm spending $1,500 on that. Never thought about the cost of keeping up her high-end Mercedes. But when you want something, you then will be tempted to walk by sight. She pleases me well, which is very interesting. You know what it means, apparently, literally, more in the Hebrew? She is right in my eyes. And that's what walking by sight is. It's right in my eyes. And I'm convinced my actions, decision, whatever it is right in my eye. But his father and his mother did not know it was of the Lord. God allowed his weakness to be used. God didn't approve of it, but he allowed it to be used so he would fight against the Philistines. And again, he loses her. Something happens, but even at the end, he never quite learns, does he? Until the very end, when he gets involved with this woman called Delilah, this probably extremely sensuous, beautiful woman to him. And eventually, there's an opening. She breaks him down, and he reveals to her the source of his strength, which is the ultimate breaking of the Nazarite vow. And a Nazarite vow was an intimate vow with God, and that is broken. And then, of course, he loses all of his strength because he wasn't walking By faith, he was walking by sight, and then he loses his sight. He repents at the end, and he kills many Philistines, and it has a good ending, I guess. But the temptation again, and the simple message here, be careful of fixations, because they often seduce us, and we end up making terrible mistakes, and then we don't walk in faith. It is not wrong to have desires, but filter those desires. You know, God, if I'm not seeing something here correctly, please show me. It could be a job. It could be a situation of where you're going to live. I've known a couple of people. I've mentioned this before. I'll just go through this very quickly. Hawaii. They've had opportunities to move to Hawaii. This is the great paradise. It's almost the kingdom of God, right? They have this idea. They're going to work for XYZ company. They're going to go to Hawaii. And I think they think when they get there and they got this great job in Hawaii, you know, they're going to be on the beach every day or every weekend. They're going to be doing the beach thing. Then they go there and they find out that the locals don't want you there. It's very expensive. The schooling's difficult, okay? So it's not the paradise you think it is. But you know the real world we live in, where people do have prejudices and issues. And so walking by sight, they go there, and then within about 2 or 3 years, they're doing everything they can to get transferred out of there. Maybe a good place to go for a vacation, but that's different. So be careful of your fixations, because those too can create trouble. Be careful of peer pressure. We've all bowed to peer pressure. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 21. So sometimes a fixation, maybe it's a human emotion, maybe it's discouragement, maybe it's extreme joy, maybe it's peer pressure. It's kind of trying to talk you into walking by sight, not by faith. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 21, I've bowed to peer pressure. Just because everybody thinks you should do something doesn't mean you should do it. And you know, your kids have a real hard battle with that. But even adults have to deal with peer pressure. So if you go to 1 Kings chapter 21, this is just interesting, and I know this is kind of amped up, but I wanted this amped up example because it's a very important point. If you go and see what happens to this man and how he is swayed, in this case by his wife, I don't mean, please, ladies, you know, often women give very good advice to their husbands, but there can be times anybody can give advice that isn't always the best. He's talking about Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel. And if you go to 1 Kings 21, and verse 25, just talking about that marriage, that dynamic, because when we're in relationships, family dynamic, extended family dynamic, neighborhood dynamics, I mean, there are all these dynamics kind of constantly there in the background putting pressure on us. And just, it's interesting in verse 25, it says, there was no one like King Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord. I mean, that's a pretty cutting statement, but he was very wicked because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. Now, I'm not saying, ladies, you're Jezebel. I don't believe there are any Jezebels here, okay? I'm just saying, though, anybody can cave to peer pressure, and a woman can cave to peer pressure from her father or from her husband. These are real-life situations. So that's why you've got to stop kind of in the middle of the storm. Figure you're out on the boat in the Sea of Galilee and Christ is walking on the water and you got the waves and maybe it's raining and you got peer pressure and you've got human emotion. People are angry or people are discouraged. Or maybe somebody you love is saying, do this, do this, do this. But is it the voice of a human? Is it the voice of an emotion? Which isn't always wrong. Is it a voice where maybe you're afraid or maybe it's a fixation? Or are you walking by faith? It's very difficult. And so you just simply see this rotating here again and again. You know, there are women in difficult situations, maybe with a boss or perhaps with a spouse who is hostile toward the church And they're constantly getting this pressure put on them. Very difficult for them. So there are other examples here. There was Lot, remember, who had to make a decision. If you take a look at the story of Lot in Genesis, he chose to go and dwell in the plains outside of Sodom because they were green and fertile. He walked by sight. It seemed like a good decision. He was a good man. And I believe it's 2 Peter, he's called Righteous Lot. But he had a series of decisions he made. And we know that Lot eventually dwelt in the richness of the well-watered Jordan River Valley area of the cities of the plain towards Sodom. You can read of that. Remember, he was given a choice where to dwell. And he made up the best choice at that time he thought was wise. Then eventually, you go to Genesis 14, I believe in verse 12, all of a sudden he's not living in the plain, he's living in Sodom. Good man. Not a good decision. He's not walking by faith. Then we find out later on that he's a righteous man. He's severely troubled by the depravity that's taking place in Sodom. That's in 2 Peter chapter 2. Eventually, he becomes probably a leader in Sodom, sitting at the gate in Sodom, because all along he's been walking by sight. I mean, this can be very serious. Of course, he ends up having to flee Sodom. They actually have to take him by the hand. His wife leaves Sodom. Great destruction occurs. There's the indication that there were other family members that stayed behind, but two daughters went with him. Then the world seems to end. He loses his wife. He gets involved with his own daughters, not out of lust, but I mean, they're so confused and crazy because of the destruction of the city, and he ends up losing almost everything. Okay, before I end, I just want to give some obvious points, but sometimes when we're in the throes of trying to walk and deal with life, you know, it's just difficult. We have to be willing to listen to God, and the temptation in our fast-paced society is not to listen to God. The temptation in our culture is to maybe pray about a matter quickly, because we're always in a rush. We think we see everything, we don't. We see bits and pieces, we really don't see everything. We're swayed by maybe other people, we're swayed by human emotion. Maybe we're discouraged, maybe we're angry, maybe we're fed up and I've, quote, had enough. Whatever the motive is, and then we start making decisions. But you have to stop and you have to give God time. Remember, faith is about you want God's hand in your life and you expect his hand and his involvement, but you've got to give God time for this. You've got to seek it out repeatedly. You know, in one sense, I would say it doesn't necessarily always happen just with one prayer. You've got to continually pursue him and look after him to guide you and to give you those insights which are so important. In the book of James, it says, don't be quick to be angry. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. Be swift to hear. You're waiting to hear from God, and this is what is so very important. So let's go to Luke chapter 5. Let's go to Luke chapter 5 very quickly. Just some general points that we can lose sight of when we're in the middle of determining what to do or how to handle a situation or maybe a family issue or whatever. You know, that temptation there is just very powerful. Let's go to Luke 6 instead. I think this is actually better. Let's go to Luke 6 and verse 12. Remember, when Christ chose the disciples, he did not automatically assume that he knew who all of them should be, even though he was the Son of God. He goes up into a mountain alone in the evening, prays all through the night, and then he chooses the 12 who become apostles. It is so important to say, okay, I know what I want to do, God, but I'm not 100% sure if it's the right thing to do or the time to do it or the way to do it. I've got to take some time off. You have to take some time and get away. Whether that's a day, whether that's an evening, I mean, if you can get even a couple of days, maybe if some men, they work, they're away from the family, and maybe in the evenings, you must give God time to walk in faith. Says, okay, God, I want your involvement. Show me. And then you got to be patient. You got to give it some time. He's not going to be rushed. That's our culture. Satan wants us to be impulsive. And this is when we tend to make some of our best-intentioned, worst mistakes. I know I'm stating what is obvious, but again, just the way the culture is, we forget these things. This is a beautiful scripture, Psalm 51. You need to do this. I need to do this. It's hard to do when you're swept up with a certain emotion. It could be joy. It could be happiness, or it could be the emotion of discouragement, and you're overwhelmed, and you just start coming to conclusions. And usually those conclusions are not good conclusions. You know, when you're at the extreme of emotion. Beautiful. Psalm 51. Let's go to Psalm 51. If you can have the presence of mind to know you're not in your right mind. If you can have the presence of mind, if I could be blunt, to say, you know, right now, I'm a little bit crazy. I'm a little bit too angry, or I'm a little bit too excited, or I'm a little bit too frustrated, or I don't want to wait any longer. And just have the presence of mind to say, I'm not of a right mind yet to make a decision here and determine where I walk. I love this passage in verse 6. David is going through repentance, right? He has gotten involved with Bathsheba. He was walking by sight, for sure. And in verse 6, it says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. So when you're alone with God and you're praying, you're asking God, help me to have truth in the inward parts. Why do I really want to marry this person? Or why do I really want to move to Boise, Idaho? Got to be very honest with yourself. Sometimes, you know, there are things going deep down inside we won't even tell our closest friends or our spouse. What is driving the decision? You've got to go to the truth of the inward parts. And God loves that. God loves that because then we can kind of deal with issues and we mature through the process and we calm down and we settle down. Point number 3, easy is not always wrong. I'm going to do this because it's easy. But so often, the easy decision is wrong. It's easy to give in to discouragement, then do something because it kind of takes a load off of you. It's easy to blow up at your spouse because you feel you have a right, but remember, rarely does the wrath of man work the righteousness of God. That's not walking in faith. It's easy to give in to temper. It's easy to buy something, a big ticket item, because, well, maybe I have the money or I've always wanted it, right? It's easy to marry somebody because, you know, that person is your dream person. There's no such thing as dream people, but I know people get into that. You know, this is our funny culture, right? You hear this all the time. My dream house, my dream vacation, this dream person. Because you know that isn't true. That dream's going to turn real quick, okay? Because that's the reality of life. And I don't want to be around when the bubble bursts. You want people who are realistic. But again, be careful of easy. And it's just jobs, relationships, anything. It's just so easy to give in to human emotion or peer pressure and the such. Remember, Satan wants you to be impulsive. He wants you to cave into being tired, or a lot more can be said about this. Sometimes it's just easy to take the lazy way out, just with life. You know, it's just, we've all had things, I don't want to phone him. I'm not going to phone her, but I need to phone her, you know. But it's just easy to give in to, I don't want to do it. Well, sometimes you need to do it. Go on and on and on. Remember, there are always things you do not see in a context of situation, people. I'm going to live in Boise, Idaho, or it doesn't mean everything's always bad or a potential nightmare. I don't mean that, but just give God time to work. Faith is coming to God, and it should give us great confidence, and it should create a calmness of mind. And we should say, you know, I don't know. I want to do this. And I'm so excited, or I'm so worried, or I'm so frustrated, but I'm going to go to God. I'm going to give God time to show me what to do, and He will show me. Because I'm going to walk in faith, but that means I have to give it some time. I've got to allow God to work on my mind. I've got to study the Word of God. I've got to get good counsel. I've got to make sure that a subject matter, I don't have a total fixation over something. I've got to back off here. God wants us to walk by faith. It's very easy to walk by sight, but God will reward us when we walk by faith. I don't want to be a Samson. I don't want to get a fixation. I don't want to get so discouraged I do what Abraham and Sarai did. I want to be more like David in the sense that I'm close to God and I can perceive what is wise to do. God wants us to grow in faith and learn how to exercise faith. And it takes a lot of honesty and it takes time and it takes being close with God, but God blesses us. And those roads we choose to travel by, they'll be much better roads in the long run if we walk by faith. So I hope it's given you some ideas. We should look to God expecting that He will act in our lives, but then we have to really be willing to do what He wants us to do and go through a certain type of process, because God blesses faith and He will bless you when you walk by faith.